In the month of June, we have been working through a section in the Sunday worship gatherings that we have called the Shepherding Moment of Equipping, the Shepherd's Moment of Equipping. And you're aware, as am I, that many in our culture view the month of June as Pride Month. We see it all around. It's celebrated all around us. You're familiar with that. And so the leadership came together and we prayed and we said, how can we equip our church family? How can we equip as shepherds with the onslaught of this stuff that is just coming at us from every direction in our society? So a couple of weeks ago, we began by looking at the Old Testament view of homosexuality. Last week, we looked at the New Testament view of homosexuality. And what I want to do this evening is spend a little bit of time talking about Jesus's view of homosexuality. If you have dialogued with those that are in this community or those that maybe have tried to do a little bit of study, as it were, about their own beliefs on this issue, many of them will say something like this: Jesus never condemned homosexuality. And that means to them that therefore it is okay. In a 2002 Slate article titled, "Wait, Was Jesus a Homophobe?" the author William Oramus said this: "While it is reasonable to assume that Jesus and his fellow Jews in first century Palestine would have disapproved of gay relations, there is no record of his ever having mentioned homosexuality, let alone expressed any particular revulsion to it. Never in the Bible does Jesus himself offer an explicit prohibition of homosexuality," end of quote. So in that article that came out a number of years ago, that author is suggesting that because Jesus never explicitly mentioned homosexuality, he must not have been very concerned about it. How do you respond? Church family, how do you respond in this culture, in this society, when people say this? I want to equip you in the couple of slides that we have with four main headings. And as I've encouraged you before, church family, jot down some of these scriptures. You don't need to write everything down, but these are ways to equip you so that you can be armed with the sufficient and the clear word of God against these arguments. Number one, Jesus affirmed the covenant of marriage as only defined by one man and one woman in Matthew chapter 19. Now, the context of Matthew 19, Jesus was journeying to Jerusalem for the final Passover before he would be crucified, and he's approached by Pharisees, and the Pharisees ask Jesus about divorce. And Jesus replied to them that God created them from the beginning, male and female. That's Matthew 19:4. And he's quoting Genesis 1:27, male and female. "A man," Jesus said, "shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh." That's Matthew 19:5. "They are not two, but they are one," Matthew 19, verse 6. So right here in this first scripture in Matthew 19, Jesus unequivocally affirms a couple of things. Number one, that gender is binary. There is only male and there is only female, the gender that you are born with, that God gave you. And that marriage is designed by God as a covenant of companionship only between one man and one woman. Matthew 19 makes that clear. Number two, on the bottom of the screen here, a second way that we can be equipped in responding to those who say Jesus didn't address homosexuality. Number two, Jesus prioritized the heart as the root of our sins, mainly meaning this: the heart is the source that brings forth the actions, it brings forth the behavior. And Jesus affirmed that only the pure in heart will see God, Matthew 5:8. Now, you remember Matthew 5, verse 28. It's the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "If any man looks at a woman with lust, he has committed adultery in his heart." Jesus affirms the real root of the issue is the heart, and the priority of sexual purity, of course, begins with the heart. It's not only the outward display of, in this case, sexual sin, but it's the inward desires, it's the inward cravings, it's the inward lusts and passions that all must be mortified, and all must be repented of, is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, this is a great verse. It is only those who are the pure in heart that'll see God. Last week and the week before, we saw that the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. Those that have this sin residing in their hearts, unrepented of, are not the pure in heart, and they shall not see God. If you go to the next slide, Andrew, number three here, a third way that we can answer those that make this argument. Number three, Jesus upheld and affirmed the Old Testament as the true authoritative word given by God. Jesus upheld and believed the Old Testament to be true. He knew that the Old Testament was divine and it was given by God. There's a great verse in John 10:35, where Jesus said, the scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. So all that the Old Testament claims, all that the Old Testament affirms, all that the Old Testament teaches and testifies, Jesus affirms it wholly, and he would subscribe to it completely. So what the Old Testament condemns, Jesus condemns. What God calls an abomination in the Old Testament, so Christ, who is God, also calls an abomination as well. Number four, here on the bottom of the screen, a fourth way of argument is this. Jesus and Paul harmonize together. They harmonize together, and they do not contradict one another on homosexuality. The argumentation goes like this in many in this community. Well, Paul condemned homosexuality. Jesus did not. And so what they try to do is they try to pit them against each other. They try to make them at odds with one another. But you cannot pit Jesus and Paul with one another. There's no opposition. There's no conflict between Paul's teachings condemning homosexuality and Jesus' actions of embracing homosexuality. That doesn't exist. He never did that. There's no way to divide the unity and the harmony of Scripture. No one could ever put Jesus and Paul at odds with each other. Scripture is unified. Scripture is true. And along these lines, Mike Riccardi in the next slide, if you would, Andrew, he says this. So did Jesus really address homosexuality? Why, yes, he did. He did so by sending his Spirit to superintend the writing of Paul, such that what Paul wrote was precisely what Jesus intended. So much so that it could be said to be God-breathed. Jesus condemned homosexuality, I like this, by means of Paul's condemnation of homosexuality. And therefore, to deny that homosexuality is sinful is to deny Jesus himself. And that is irreconcilable with true biblical Christianity. Does that make sense? You can't make Paul and Jesus at odds with each other. Maybe just to summarize this, Andrew, go to the last slide if you would. In John 10:35, we read that Jesus upheld the reliability and truthfulness of the Old Testament. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In Matthew 19, Jesus affirmed marriage as a covenant between one man and one woman. We even remember in John chapter 2, Jesus went to a wedding. Remember the wedding at Cana? And he did his very first miracle at a celebratory occasion endorsing the institution that was created by God. And then finally, a verse in John 3:29. John the Baptist affirmed on one occasion that he was the friend. He was the friend of the bridegroom. And it is the bridegroom, that is Jesus, who has the bride, namely his people. So in John 3:29, this verse teaches that John the Baptist is the friend of the groom, that is Jesus, who has great joy in coming for his bride, and that is his people. The picture, of course, is the institution of marriage is one man and one woman, the man coming for his bride. Why is this a big deal? You say, Jeff, why are we having this shepherd's moment of equipping all month long for these Sundays? Church family, it's because this marriage between one man and one woman is a picture of Christ and the church. This is not just some cultural thing. This strikes at the very heart of the picture of the gospel that God designed way back in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. So, did Jesus endorse homosexuality? With that, we must say no. He explicitly, clearly, and faithfully upheld God's original design for the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman alone. May the Lord equip us as a church family as we deal with those in our society and our culture who may make these suggestions. We have one more topic that we will look at next week, and that is the topic of same-sex attraction. Many people in our day, sadly and tragically and in a deceived way, claim to be gay Christians. They are celibate Christians, so they affirm. They're not acting out on their homosexuality. What does the Bible say about same-sex attraction? We're going to talk about that next week. Let's pray and ask the Lord for our help to be lights in this world. Our Father, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the clarity of your word. We pray, O God, that you would help us to be lights in a very dark world, that we would shine the light of the gospel with courage and clarity and joy and conviction for the glory of Christ alone. Amen.